By the help of the Holy Spirit this morning, we are going to continue in expounding on the key scripture for the month, Genesis 13, verse 14. Genesis 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Father in heaven, we bless your holy name. We lift you high because we know that you are ready to bless your people. You are ready to speak to us. You are ready to send us a word that will shift us from this point to the place of new horizon. You are ready to lift us up, O God, from where we are to our bigger place, to our wider place, to a place of greater impact, to a place where you will shatter the limitations around us. Thank you, Almighty God. Give power to your vessel. Let your word come powerfully and let our lives be transformed. Glory to your name, for we prayed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All the glory to God. This morning, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going on to the second beat of the key scripture that the Lord gave us for the month. And that second beat is, lift up now thine eyes and look. So you can call it, lift up your eyes and look. You can call the title of the message that, lift up your eyes and look. And if you look at that, it's an action word in itself. Lift up your eyes is an action. Look is also an action. So God is saying something to us, saints. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the saints. Everyone agrees that foundation of anything matters. The foundation of a building is crucial to the strength, the stability, and the longevity of that building. Foundation of anything or everything is key. It is the first part of anything. It is the beginning of anything. You start any project from the foundation. When you want to start a degree or a course or anything, they will start you with the fundamentals. Those fundamentals are the foundation. They become the building block on which you build every other information or knowledge that you get from that. The height or the greatness of anything is determined by its foundation. If you are thinking of a skyscraper, you have to think first from the foundation. You have to know what weight you want to carry. And from there, the foundation will determine how tall or how heavy or how great a building can be. The Bible said very critically in Psalm chapter 11 and verse 3. Psalm 11 verse 3, it says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? More like saying, if there's a fault in the foundation, then the guy who is building the house has become helpless. You cannot do much when the foundation is faulty. You cannot achieve much when the foundation is shaky. Some of us are finding science difficult today because of the foundation that we had. You didn't have a good teacher, or you didn't pay good attention when the basics were being taught. Or you were in a school where there are no gadgets or tools for you to learn the science practicals and all of that. And so now, you are struggling to fit in. Some of us have similar experiences in mathematics, for instance. You didn't quite learn the real bits at the foundation level. So it becomes a challenge at this level. Now, what God said, the word of the Lord, and God said, becomes the foundation for any level of greatness, any level of might, any level of increase, any level of impact in a man's life. The word of God is the foundation that has been laid for us. And we thank God that this glorious 2021, the word has gone forth for us. This year, we are possessing the gates of our enemies. And that this season is our season of recovery, of restoration, and repossession of everything lost and stolen. This month, the word which has become the foundation of our faith, the foundation of where we are going this month and this year, is that we are breaking into new horizons in all spheres of our lives. The Bible said, as a matter of fact, that the foundation of the world was laid by the word of God. The foundation of the entire thing that you see, of the entire heavens and earth, were laid by the word of God. Isaiah 48 and verse 13 says it like this. It said, my hand also had laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand had spanned the heavens. And it now puts a full colon there. He said, how did I do it? It was when I called unto them, they stand up together. So calling, a declaration, was what made the foundations of the earth to be laid. It was the declaration from the mouth of God that spanned the heavens in place. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Hebrew Christians, said that it was the word of God in the person of the Lord Jesus that created the heavens and the earth, and that the sustenance, the continuity, the perpetuity of the existence of creation is dependent upon the word. Hebrews 1:3, the part that I want says, it says, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. So that they are still here and still standing is because the word that created it, the word that was the foundation, is sustaining it, is keeping it in shape, is keeping it intact. That is why the sea has not overflown his bounds, his limits. That is why the clouds have not fallen down. There is a word, the foundation thereof, that sustains it, that keeps it in place. And God said, the word of the Lord is the anchor of our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. It's the foundation of your faith. It is what determines your confession, because it is from the heart the mouth speaks. It is what you have believed that you declare. And of course, it is what creates your reality. By what you say, your life will be determined. It is, and God said, which is the foundation that have been laid by the word that has gone ahead of us in this year, that you have an incontestable proof or evidence in your hands. When you go into court and you have an evidence that cannot be contested, in all probability you win the case. You come out victorious. When you have a proof in your hand that cannot be denied, even the word of God said it, that you should produce your case, produce your cause. The Lord said, produce your cause. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 21. It is the word of God that you bring back to him. He said, provide your strong reasons. Put me in remembrance. Isaiah 43 and verse 26. He says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Remind me of what I said. It's when the enemy comes against you in the course of this year with some challenges and with some headaches, it is the word of God that has become the foundation on which you are building your progress, on which you are building your life, on which you are building your family and your businesses. That is what you will bring back. So God said is critical. That is the foundation of our life. The word of God that came to Abraham, as it were, was the key difference between the story of Lot's life and that of Abraham. The word and God said, that was the difference between the story of Lot's life and that of Abraham. Abraham got a word and God said, but Lot just followed. Lot had no conviction, had no encounter, no faith, no inner witness, nothing, no foundation, so to say. If you check the earlier verses in our text, when you look at Genesis chapter 13 and you look at verse 10, yeah, particularly verse 10, the Bible said, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you are coming unto Zoar. So the man lifted up his eyes also. Same action. Look at the topic for this morning. Lift up now your eyes and look. Same action. Lord lifted up his eyes Same action. Abraham was told, commanded by God, to lift up his eyes and to look. Same action that Abraham was asked to take from our focus scripture, but with complete different results. When the word of God is your foundation upon which you act, upon which you move, upon which you build, your result must be different. Same action. Look at how Lot ended, but look at how Abraham ended. Same action. Now, talking about Lot also, very briefly this morning, there is a very important point the Lord said I should mention. Talking about Lot briefly, if you look at our key scripture, there was something that preceded, lift up now the eyes and look. It was that after that Lot was separated from him, there are certain blessings you cannot take possession of until some people leave you or you leave them. There has to be a separation. There are certain things you cannot see properly until someone or something leaves you. There are some prophecies that will be on hold over your life until someone leaves you or you leave them. Now, the reason for that is this. You see, when they are with you, their minds and imaginations cannot really appreciate what is about to happen. About what is happening at the moment or what is about to happen. And so they will fight you or resist you. The brothers of Joseph, they are the examples that we have in the scripture. Because their minds cannot grab it. They have not seen what you are seeing. They have not heard what you have heard. They have not received the encounter that you have encountered. When you are acting, you act, it will look strange to them. Their minds cannot accept it. They can't appreciate it. They can't understand it. And so they will want to frustrate it. They will want to stop you. Whether you like it or not, as long as they are with you, that is what happens. Their presence, that's the second reason why it will happen. Their presence in your life has become a limitation to how far and how fast God will take you. Some people are inhibitors. They are like resistors. Their presence in your life is a negative, is a minus. It will not allow God to take you to where he wants you to go, and he won't let God take you fast enough. They are inhibitors. The presence of Jonah in that boat that day, it was a major challenge to every businessman in that boat. It was a problem to the owners of the ship themselves. Their presence, until there's a separation, there is no guarantee of safety. Until there's a separation, there is no guarantee of reaching the destination. Their presence is a limitation. It is what slows the hand of God from taking you to where you need to be and fast enough. What other reasons why they must be separated? Number three reason is that they distract you by taking your attention to petty things and from the things that really matter. As I'm speaking right now, the Spirit of God is telling me right now that somebody is identifying with one or two of these points right now, and you are thinking of some particular individuals who are already doing this. God is saying you need to learn wisdom and find the way of cutting off one way or the other. They distract you by taking your attention to petty things and from the things that really matter. One argument today, one challenge tomorrow, one little thing here, one little thing there. And they take you further away from your dream, further away from your miracle, further away from your blessing. You know, Lot was a distraction, more or less, in the life of Abraham. Because you see, it came to a point where a fight began among their workmen. It was a distraction. What mattered? Abraham was distracted from it. He was looking for how to settle fight, how to settle arguments. And finally, on this point, one reason why why there must be a separation is that they unintentionally, without their own knowledge, create a model for you to fit in. They become a standard that strokes your passion and zeal to sleep. You see, because they don't have a word, they are not passionate. Because they don't have a word, they are not driven. Because there's no foundation of an encounter, they are not motivated. And because when you are around them, you see them, and what you see is what becomes your reality. You see them not pushing. You see them not driving. You see them not passionate. Before long, you will start thinking that you are already an overachiever when you have not even started. Because they are docile, they are not really moving, and you are making one or two steps, thinking that you are already making progress, you make them a standard. Unintentionally, they make themselves a model for you. When you look at how you have moved two steps and they are still behind you, you will think that you are actually making progress. You will think that you are actually moving towards your goal or towards what God has in mind for you. But you are not really going anywhere compared to where God is taking you. And that is why I know with all my heart, because God has brought this to the front again, somebody is going to be separated from anything or anyone that represents Lot in their lives. In the name of Jesus. You need it. I need it. Because if we must move forward, then Lot must go. Lift up now your eyes and look. Lift up now your eyes and look. Now, when I read that phrase, it suggested to me that the man who they are telling to lift up his head wasn't looking up. They wouldn't say you should lift up your head if your head was already up. They wouldn't say you should look if you're already looking. The word of God does not talk. God does not talk carelessly. He speaks to address situations. It suggested to me that Abraham was looking down. It suggested to me that Abraham was looking around himself. Abraham was looking at his situation. He was looking at his circumstance. Abraham was thinking in his heart, I am not getting any younger. Abraham was thinking, I am daily losing interest in having anything to do with Sarah, my wife. He was just thinking about the loss of Lot. Now, the nephew that I've brought along with me, that I've been thinking he might be the one who will become my heir, who will take the place, you know, to look after to carry on my inheritance. This same person that I've looked on, my plan, my future, has now been told to leave. I've left him, he has left me. The one I've been raising to become a son that I can adopt is now gone. Every day he's thinking, my strength is failing. I am aging. He considered his wife, Sarah, who has done everything that a woman should do. She's not getting any younger either. He was looking and remembering the last time that she got a supply of sanitary pads, meaning that she has stopped her monthly cycle, meaning also that she has stopped producing eggs. In the middle of his increasing numbers of excuses, looking around the limitations around him, Bible said, God said to him, lift up now your eyes and look. Right now where you are, right now in the midst of that mess, right now in the midst of that hopelessness, in the midst of that trouble, in the midst of everything not working or not looking as it should be, God tells him, lift up now your eyes and look. And that is a word for somebody this morning. Yes, we are saying God has been faithful, but you seem to be saying, well, I am seeing that God is keeping me alive and well, but there are certain things that I've been planning and the plans are failing. I'm looking at my age, I'm counting the numbers, and I'm thinking, hey, when will I get married? When will I have my child? When will I settle down? When will I do this? When will I do that? And the challenges and the circumstances that are staring you in the eye, you are looking to them and you are not looking unto God that has called you. God is saying, now lift up your heads, lift up your eyes and look. Look away from the number of the years and the number of the years of your wife, Sarah. Look away from the limitation of dwindling interest of being with your wife and vice versa. Look away from the prevailing physical evidences and realities. Look away from your plans that are not going as you imagined, as Lot left him. Look away from the consideration of how dead your body looks and that of Sarah's womb. Look away from the failure of previous attempts and dashed dreams of past years. And look up. Lift up your eyes and look. Abraham was looking within the limitation of his surrounding and the limitation of his imaginations. All he wanted was to have a simple family. All he was concerned about was to have a son with his beloved wife, just him, a simple family, himself, his wife, and his son, a heir who will inherit him. He wasn't asking for too much, but my God was taking him far beyond that. My God was taking him into an horizon he never imagined. A new horizon that was far beyond what he was thinking and wishing for. He was mourning the loss of a nephew that could have become his son. At a point, you know, Abraham prayed to God. He said, "Excuse me, sir, Lot is gone. Now, is this servant that has been raised in my house, is he going to be the one who will inherit me?" But God was looking further than that, because God, his word has gone ahead. The foundation has been laid in the right place. And God said to him, "Now, Abraham, look." What was he looking at? God said, "Look northward, look southward, look eastward, and look westward." God was telling him the scope of the influence that he has released him into. God was telling him that you are looking for a son, but I am not giving you a son. I'm not even giving you a nation. I'm giving you the whole world, the entire regions from the north, talking about the North America and Europe, the entire region of the south. Look there. That is Antarctica, Australia, and the most part of South America. Look to the east, the whole of East and Southeast Asia, Japan, China, Korea, and the rest of them. Look westward, Africa, and the nations are largely in this region. Look all over the world. Children are coming to you from the nations of the earth, from all around the globe, from the east to the west, from the north to the south. That is where I am taking you to. You are thinking and praying for a son. I am giving you not just a nation. I'm giving you the whole world. In Africa today, there are people who say they are sons of Abraham. In Europe today, we are claiming that we are Abraham's seeds. Are we not saying we are possessing the gates of our enemies? It was God that said to Abraham that your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. We are claiming that promise today because God was looking at the new horizon that he was leading him to. Saints of God, you are looking for one house. God is giving you cities. You are looking for one child. God is giving you nations. You are looking for one thing. God is giving you a million things. That is the new horizon God has sent us into. God said, look to the four corners of the earth. Genesis chapter 13, verse 6. He says, look, look eastward, look westward, look southward, look northward. 16. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. Today, saints of God, the sons and daughters of Abraham are like the dust of the earth. They've not been able to adequately number the sons and daughters of Abraham, both naturally and spiritually. He says, look, as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seeds also be numbered. This was one man looking for just a son. This was one man who had planned to adopt Lot to be his son. This was one man who at one point was thinking of making a slave that was born in his house his heir. God is saying, I'm not just about to give you one child. I am giving you nations. I'm giving you races. Black, white, Hispanic, Latinos, Africans, everywhere. Everything that God has in mind for you. You have entered the new horizon. Saints of God, rise up and look. Lift up your head from the regrets of the years past. Lift up your eyes from the failures of 2020. Lift up your eyes from the limitations that the medical sciences have told you. Lift up your eyes from the restrictions the economy has placed on your life. Because you are not just going to survive. You are not just going to have bread and water to drink. You are going to lend to nations. You are feeding nations. You are housing nations. You are going to be an employer of labor. That is the horizon God is sending us to in this month and for the rest of our lives. Lift up your eyes, therefore, saints of God, and look. For God is saying, look northward. Don't just look where you are. Look southward. Look eastward. Look westward. God is taking you far beyond your expectations. You are thinking of a small business in one little locality. God is saying, look southward, sir. Look eastward. Look northward. Look westward. Are you thinking of your children? Don't worry about it. Look southward. Look northward. You are seeing them coming to you. Isaiah prophesied. He said, your children will come from afar. God is bringing the people, pare katolikaya, from afar. Your sons from the east. Your daughters from the west.
They are coming unto you. Whatever that means to anyone under the sound of my voice, that becomes your reality today. In the name of Jesus. This is the place to bless the Lord for his word and to burst out in the spirit. I want to begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I call into view my new horizon. Lord, I am lifting up my eyes and I am looking. I call into view my new horizon. I call into view my sons and my daughters. I call into view the resources necessary to lend to nations. I call into view my word possessing the gates of my enemies. I call into view from the place of recovery, from the place of repossession, from the place of restoration. I call into view my new horizon. My eyes are lifted. Now I see from the place where I am. I see northward in my business. I see southward. I see eastward. I see westward. I see beyond my plans. I see beyond my expectations. I see beyond my limitations. In the name of Jesus. Ma pratoshe kurata libradosha. E marakoto libradosha. Pakusa to lipa lukra to sheki. Be prosota lopratakaya. In the name of Jesus. Kura pala. Lebrodoshe kuta likata. La prato to dipra. In the name of Jesus, thank you, mighty God, for we prayed in Jesus' name, amen. If you cannot see it, you cannot have it. If you cannot see it, you cannot handle it. If you cannot see it, you cannot experience it. The Lord speaking to his prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1, 11 and 12. It says, the word of the Lord came unto me. That same word came unto him, saying, Jeremiah, what are you seeing? And I said, I see a rod of almond tree. Verse 12, Jeremiah 1, verse 12. And the Bible said, the Lord said unto him again, you have seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. His seeing was what quickened the performance thereof. It was the seeing that Jeremiah saw that made God to hasten his word. In the name of Jesus, you are going to pray for yourself. Father, I will see well. Hey, this year, my eyes are open. Every veil is removed. I will see well beyond my limitations. I will see well. And your word will be hastened. You will hasten your word to perform it in our lives. From now, we want to begin to see it in a reality. We want to see the performance, therefore, because we will see well. Make it a prayer. Lord, we will see well this year. Spiritually, our eyes are open. Physically, our eyes are open. The eyes of our minds are open. The eyes of our intellects are open. We will see well. We will see well. And therefore, you will hasten your word to perform it. Quick performance, rapid performance, fast performance of your word over us in this year. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Almighty God. We bless your holy name. We give you glory and we give you praise. For your word has come. And in response to your word, Lord, our eyes are lifted. Abraham lifted his eyes on that day, and that was the change of his life. That was the point where the limitations around his life were turned to nothing. Though, therefore, as we have lifted our eyes this day, and as we have looked northward, southward, eastward, and westward, Father, we demand a quick performance, therefore, in the name of Jesus, hasten your word to perform it, just like you have said, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for our new horizon. Thank you, Lord, for taking us far, taking us fast in the name of Jesus. We give you glory and we give you praise, for we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you greatly.